always have to be ready, to be vigilant, to be sober. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There is an enemy. There is a war about, and we have to be ready for it. We have to be always ready and with our light shining bright and ready to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. And it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. And there's no time for running. There's no armor for the back to turn around and to run. We've got to stay and fight. So that's what we do. Amen. And we got a war on our hands because there's a war on for your children. There's a war on for this generation, for these young people. And we're going to cover some of that today. And brave men will talk about it. Brave men will stand up against it. They won't hide in their pulpits somewhere, or they won't hide in the four walls of their church building somewhere and not go out and face the world, not go out and preach the word, not go out and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I know we risk getting cut off of YouTube here, and I know that that'd be my second strike here, and but that's why we're building Rumble as a platform. That's why we have Sermon Audio as a platform. That's why we're developing the website and working on that. And we know full well that it's coming, but we just want to be prepared for that and use the other platforms. And just remember, I'm on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 2 p.m. Central Time. If you don't see me, if you don't see me on YouTube, go over to Sermon Audio Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 2 p.m. Central. Subscribe to that. I'm going to have you subscribe to our website as soon as we get those that ready to go. So you get an email about every broadcast that comes up. You get an alert and a notification. We're also going to have a chat there to where everyone's going to be able to come together on that one platform and chat there so we can have that together in that local control right there. So we're working on that right now. Brother Joshua's been working on that. We're going to get that ready, and we'll have our tracks available to download there as well. Let's see. What else do we have going on? We got a lot of things going on. Well, praise the Lord. Mary got her paperwork. Praise the Lord. Mary got her Visa and Carl's got his MasterCard. So we're good. And praise the Lord for that part of it. Now, we still got to pray in Andrew's information, Andrew's passport. Man, do we got issues with Andrew's passport? So we need your prayers, all right? I said that at the beginning of that video that we need, whoops, I need that. I don't want to lose that article. Get that off there. Over here. Okay. Where that is here. Here it is.
Lay it on your heart.
On this video, I said it. We need your prayers. So please pray that God would intervene and that Andrew would get that passport. Because now they're saying, well, 5 days before your trip, you can contact our office and we'll do some emergency stuff or whatever is what they're telling him now. They did say 2 weeks. They just changed it. Just changed it yesterday, he said. That's what they told him at the passport office. Kind of like the machine making plant, right? So, would you pray for us that that would come in, please? And pray for the Lord to continue to provide for us. We just probably need a little bit more for just some odds and ends expenses on the other half of oh, what do you call it? The Airbnb and all that kind of stuff, and the booking.com and that kind of stuff. So, but really, we're getting close to having it all taken care of. We're pretty much right there, but we're getting close, and we've got the money secured, the funds that we need while we're over there. We've got that. Praise the Lord for that. Now we just want to finish up with that other needs, and then we probably should be all set. Give or take a few bucks, we're probably getting pretty close there. So, but anyway, so you pray about that. If the Lord would have you do that, have you be a part of that. You could PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com, Cash App at Apple Pay and all that stuff. I had somebody come on my page and they said, yeah, I expose all this Masonic stuff and all this other stuff, and I'm watching this channel, and I do all this without asking for any money. And, well, I've never asked money to have a broadcast, okay? They're genius. I've been doing a broadcast for probably on and off for 12 years. Right? So to make that comment is just stupid. Oh, I'm watching this channel. I don't know if he knows there's a lot of Masons and all these other people and all this other stuff and on his channel and all. And I'm like laughing at this guy. I'm like, yeah. Well, here's the thing, okay? God is providing. You don't have to be jealous. You can just thank God that God has provided for somebody to go do something for Jesus, okay? And to be a blessing to others. The things that we're going to do on this trip are going to far surpass that 2 weeks' time that we have. Right? And I'm not some YouTube blogger. I pastor a local New Testament church that has an outreach that reaches people all over the world. So I'm not some internet blogger because I don't have anything better to do that I need a job. So I'm doing that. No, I pastor a church and I try to devote as much time as I can to people online. First of all, I devote the time to my family. Second of all, to Old Paths Baptist Church. And then third of all, to those that are online. So it's asinine. You only have a few people that make comments like that, you know. Right? So anyway, it's funny though. I chuckle a lot of it. God's still using it and God's still doing stuff and whatever. You all know though. You all know. And you're all being blessed by it, and I know that. I already know that. So I'm not worried about the comments of people, but I find it funny that's how they talk. But anyway, that's okay. Anyway. So, but we praise the Lord for his provision and his care and him using you, and you get to be a part of it. And by the way, we are going to chronicle everything as we go. I'm telling you, this is going to be unique to the situations that other people find themselves in when they do this, okay? A lot of pastors will go on a missions trip. They'll go somewhere. They'll do things, but they're not doing exactly what we're going to do. We're going to do some different things. You know, we're going to do some historical things with that. We're going to do documentaries with the information that we have. You're also going to get to vlog and follow us all the way through there. When we're sleeping, you're going to be watching videos. When we're doing videos, you're going to be sleeping. So it's going to be an interesting thing. But this is going to be a benefit to everyone. And of course, the preaching over there, the encouragement to the brethren, and the possible church planting and other things that we're going to be doing. So it's kind of exciting. It's different. I don't know how I'll be honest with you. I have no idea how all this is going to shake out. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what God's going to do with it all. I have no idea. I know in the future that one thing that I do understand is I have young men that God is raising up. And I have men that want to preach all over the world, right? So I have those young men that want to do that. And they want to preach the gospel. And I think there's going to be that God's going to raise up more young men and young women to go out and to support them and to be married and to raise a family for Christ. So anyway, and to start churches all over the place. We have a lot of young people. So I'm looking forward to what God's going to do with all that. And we just have to wait on the Lord and see, because we don't know. I don't know everything that God has planned. You know? But I know that God is providing and God's going to do some amazing things. So anyway, if you want to support it, there you go. All right? That's how. And by the way, our little church has such an impact. You think about this now. Here's Old Paths Baptist Church, and we have 45 children in a small church. Do you know there's big churches that don't have that many children? They don't even have that many children. Well, part of the reason we do is what we preach here. See, your doctrine affects your practice. It does. When you tell people to trust God, to obey the Bible, for husbands to provide, for women to be keepers at home, and to have babies, and don't use birth control, and believe God, and God will provide for you and he will take care of you. When you do that, people have babies. Husbands and wives have children. They have children. They raise a family. Then people move to your church because they realize also that, wow, so they really believe this. Yeah. See what I mean? It has an impact. See that video testimony that was done by Ryan and Erica and myself when I interviewed Ryan and Erica. And we talked about reversing birth control. And how there's four or five more children now because they reverse birth control. Right? Stay tuned, though, because we have another documentary that we're going to be working on that we're going to release sometime in the future. We haven't started it yet, but we are going to. And it will be with Brother Andrew Bicey and Sister Rachel Bicey, Brother the Biceys. And we are going to do a documentary called A More Excellent Way. And it's going to be about the family, the home. It's going to be about keepers at home. It's going to be about all of those things. So stay tuned. That will be an amazing documentary and time that we have with that. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be exciting. And you're going to hear a unique testimony from Andrew and Rachel about how they grew up and how they learned and all those things. So it'll be phenomenal. It's going to be exceptionally good. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll shoot that sometime after we get back from Europe. But we're going to be working on that. And we're excited about that. So you think about that. So there's a lot of things. And by the way, people get strengthened by things like this too as well. So we'll look at that in the future. I'm excited about that. And of course, when I'm on the road here, I'm giving you a long introduction here to everything before we get started with our topic. But that's okay. It's Friday, right? But here's another thing. I'm going to be interviewing Carl and Mary. Okay? And we're going to talk to Carl and Mary about their testimony and everything like that. I'll be interviewing them. Then, I would like to talk to Brother Ross Duncan and his wife. I'd like to talk to Brother Joe. And some others that are out there. So anyway, We've got some plans when we're on the road. And we'll look at that when we get on the road. It'll be a blessing to to do that and to be used of the Lord and to talk about how God used Old Paths Baptist Church all over the world. So it'll be exciting to be able to look at that and to talk about those things. So you just pray about that, that God would bless our travels. And so the first need is pray for us for safety and pray for Brother Andrew. Okay? Pray for Brother Andrew's paperwork to come back. I only got two over there on Rumble right now. Two on Rumble. Seven over there. Let's see here. 32 on YouTube. And everybody, no one goes on Facebook, man. They always go on YouTube or Rumble or Sermon Audio. But that's okay. All right. Well, you know, we're going to talk about some kind of uncomfortable things a little bit, but they're important things. And things that need to be, in this day and age, clarity. Clarity is important. And people need to understand. It's important to, you know, be able to make things plain and clear for people. There's a lot of confusion out there. Okay? That word author is three times. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. You know, God is not the author of confusion, but Satan loves confusion. He loves confusion. He loves to confuse people. And unfortunately, the governments of this world, sexual perversion, gender dysphoria, homosexuality, all of those things. Okay? All of those things are confusion. And they wrought confusion in the heart. You know, the Bible talks about bestiality and those other things. It says, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. You know, you weren't lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile thyself. You weren't to defile yourself, you know, incest or bestiality or homosexuality or any of those things. None of those things, none of those fornicating sins, none of those, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. So all those things cause confusion. Now, there are times in a child's life, because of hormonal issues, because of socio issues, you know, society issues, circumstantial issues, things that happen around them that cause them to be confused. Children can naturally have confusion, okay? I mean, that doesn't mean there's something evilly wrong with them, you know? Because they have that confusion. Now, purposely, they are adding to that confusion. Purposely, they are introducing things that are against natural affection to confuse them. That is Satan's agenda. Satan wants to confuse them. A massive study in Scientific American finds no single genetic cause for same sexual behavior, which this kind of goes on to the same line as what we're going to talk about with gender dysphoria. We'll read the gender dysphoria one first, where you have children and you have lots of strange, let me say this with children, lots of strange thoughts will come into their minds. Lots of strange thoughts come into my mind. Lots of horrible, awful thoughts have come into my mind. But with children, a lot of strange thoughts can come in as they're growing up, as they're going through puberty, as they're going through adolescence, as they're getting older. It's a time of confusion. Very much so. That's why it's important how you raise them. Because how you raise them affects how they will turn out. Do you understand what I mean by that? Are you following me? That's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You are supposed to make things clear for children. You are not supposed to make things confusing to them. You are to set boundaries in their lives. Let me show you. Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. You are to teach young men knowledge and young women knowledge and discretion, discernment. Teach them to judge critically. Teach them how to behave themselves. Teach them what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. That main teaching falls upon the parents. It does not fall upon the school teacher. It does not fall upon the Sunday school teacher or the pastor. The main teaching of wisdom and discretion is found right here in Proverbs. The main responsibility is found here. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Fathers and mothers are to train their children in the way that they should go, to teach them discretion. You want to know why kids are turning out bat crazy? You want to know why they don't know what gender they are? You want to know why they have confusion about all of those things? It's simple. Much of it is sociological. Much of it is what goes on in the circumstances and everything around them. When things come into what I try to do with my children and what I try to do with the church, and I wish I was preaching this right now at Old Paths. I really do. Half of them are working right now and probably can't listen to it, but I sure hope and pray they listen to it. Because I'll give them a double whammy of it on Sunday. I don't care. But they need to listen up and pay attention to this. It's important for everyone to understand their responsibilities. But what it says here is the fathers and the mothers. My son, hear the instruction. Many things come between or inside a children's mind. It is not a sin that these things come into their minds. It is a sin when they act upon things that are contrary to the truth. When they are drawn to those things and they cherish things or they hold on to those things or they accept those things, which are wicked. You are to cast down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You are to bring into it every thought, captivity, unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. So then, children will have a lot of strange and scary thoughts go through their brains. And I try to tell those children, even at Old Paths Baptist Church, I say, look, don't lose it when the most strangest and awkward and terrible thoughts come into your mind. Know and understand what to do with them. And then that strange times come over you and in your life and strange feelings and strange things happen and you don't understand, sometimes your body is making changes, you're growing up and things are happening and man, you're just, your emotions and everything else, they're just all, they can be all over the board sometimes. And that can bring confusion in. And that's why you need to be able to talk to your parents and you need to be able to pray and you need to know what God says in his word. But your parents, you have to have an outline. You have to have a teaching from the scriptures. You have to have understanding from the word of God that you can teach your children. So you take some of the fear of that. The fear of the unknown is what brings so much anxiety into a child's life and heart. They, or even to the child of God, but they're rattled by the way they feel sometimes. And they're afraid of the way they feel sometimes. And because of that, the stranger it is, and when it becomes odd and scary, they get afraid and they don't know what to do with those feelings. And if they talk to the wrong people, they can pervert them and teach them evil. So you as parents need to take the responsibility. You need to be able to have conversations with your children. You need to be able to help them through the awkward and scary times. That's right, Brother Ross. You can't stop the crows from landing on the tree, but you can stop them from making a nest. Amen. That's a good point by Spurgeon on wicked thoughts. I like that. So listen to me. You've got to take the time. This text right in Proverbs on talking about discretion shows us that you've got to take the time to talk to your children about awkward and weird things when they do come up, and keep that avenue open so they're able to ask you any question they need to. Because sometimes it's like, oh, I had this scary thought. I must be a tranny, or I must be gay, or I must be this, or I must... Well, you know what? When the wrong people get a hold of them, that's what they're going to teach them. And that's what society teaches them. And that's what they're doing to them. And because homes are so absolutely unstable today, and because even in Christian homes, they're not being raised right, they're not being taught, that children get scared. They get, man, they don't know. So they start investigating and all those other things. And get into trouble. But when you take the absolute standard of the King James Bible and you're guiding them, not just now when the trouble comes and they're afraid, but you've showed them that this is the standard of excellency and truth for all things through their lives, then this will be another hiccup in life that you have to teach them. True. I got another one for you. We're gonna continue on in this. I don't even know if I'll get to my secular reading. I might not. Maybe I'm just gonna bring the thunder down on Christians and on those that need to have an answer. I'm telling you, these issues are the issues of the times. You'll remember very clearly, some of you, go back in the Wayback Machine here. That's 2019. I've talked a lot about it, haven't I? Gendercide, the NWO neutering of manhood. The biblical case against transgenders, transgender-friendly Bible versions. Transgenders invade high school locker rooms. Christian androgyny, raising children in an LGBTQ-friendly world. And who could forget about the Baphomet bathroom battle? Stay out of the girls' bathroom, you pervert. Absolutely the best title for a transgender sermon ever. Right there. Right? Come on. But anyway, I've been warning about this for a long time, haven't I? Look, all the way back in 2014, by the way, I'm going to tell you what, YouTube does not like this topic. But anyway, let's go back to the scriptures. Let me say this to you. God says it matters how you and I raise our children. Why does it matter so much? Well, God made a distinction. In the beginning, he made them male and female. You and I are to teach them what that means. You and I are to teach them what God expects from them. We're not only to teach them, we are to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You want to know what's contributed to more of this and what would contribute to it in a Christian home and in society? Not recognizing the gender roles. Not recognizing the difference between male and female. Not training our daughters to be ladies and to have babies and to be married and to have children and to love their husband. Not raising our young men, to be leaders, to be protectors, to be providers. right? Well, what have we done? Raise them androgynously. I'm telling you, most Christians and Christian children, the boys are raised exactly like the girls. And places like the Christian school movement do it all the time. Well, how do you figure? Well, if you have boys basketball, then you have to have girls basketball.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to sneeze. Uh-oh. Oh, is it going to be a false alarm? Oh. Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Why do girls need girls basketball? Why do girls need girls volleyball? Why do girls need everything that the boys have? I don't see a rush to have cooking class in Christian school for boys. You have to be a part of baking class. You got to go to bakery class. Right? But there has to be girls basketball, girls volleyball, girls this, girls that. Right? But no home economics for boys where they got to go in and they got to bake cakes and do all those things. Huh, isn't that something? Right, you know why? Because men are hated. And Christian schools and fundamentalists have bought into it and they do the same exact thing. They raise the boys and the girls the exact same. And I'm telling you, because God's people are not making distinction, you're raising up young girls to butch their hair, to go out into the workforce, to go out to Bible college, or to go out to nursing school, to go out to this and to go out to that, and to have a career and to do all these things, and just like a man is supposed to. The distinction lines have been destroyed. They've destroyed them. They've ended them. I'm going to change this broadcast. I think this next one, I might keep preaching on this. And probably what's going to happen is I'm going to use that other medical stuff on Monday. Because I think Christians have taught androgyny first. I think Christians and Christian schools have practiced androgyny. I think most pastors are practicing androgyny. I think they have not made the distinctions. They've not taught their people to make distinctions. So when the world goes farther, when the world goes farther than they do, it's like, oh, that's really bad. Well, how about Christians haven't been the examples in teaching and training their children and raising them up differently? I didn't always know these things either, but you know what? Now that I do, that I've studied them for probably, I don't know, 10 years. Or longer, since 2011, probably? Holy buckets. 12 years. Then I've come to the place to where I can't go back. I've opened my mouth unto the Lord. I can't go back. And I'm looking around at this and I'm thinking, you know, these people, they're not raising their children differently. So we have terms that are used out there like tomboy. There ain't nothing wrong with a girl climbing a tree and running around and doing stuff. There ain't nothing wrong with that. That ain't a tomboy. That's just a girl. That's a child. But if you start honing that girl towards male things and not showing her her absolute worth in being a keeper at home, to into loving her father and loving her siblings and nurturing them and teaching them a nurturing spirit and teaching them how to take care of babies and teaching them how to cook and how to clean and how to do all these other things and teaching them how to sew and to do things that ladies do and to care for a house and to use their artistic ability to make things in the home and to decorate a home and to make it look nice and to make the house a home that uniquely God has gifted her to do, and to organize the home and to guide the home. My daughters are already learning to guide the home. My children are, my daughters, man, I've got five daughters, and at 7 years old is making breakfast in the morning for her and for her grandpa. And she's always saying, "Dad, can I make your breakfast?" Do you think that's demeaning? That's not demeaning. It's absolutely beautiful. My 7-year-old knows how to do more than 25-year-old women do. They are a gift and a blessing from God to be able to do that. That's right, Brother Ickes. Teaching them how rewarding and fulfilling it is to prioritize family and children. The happiest women are married with children. That's right, they are. And the most stable young man you'll ever know is one with a father that is a hard worker, a provider, and get this, a mother that is nurturing and caring. Do you understand how young men grow strong? But because they have that balance, they got dad to stick his foot in their rear end when they need it, and they got mom to guide them and love them and nurture them and show them what a true lady is. That's God's design, and it's beautiful, and you will never, never be able to replace it. You will never be able to exchange it for something better. Never. Children that grow up stable in stable homes, in loving homes, in caring homes, with that perfect balance of a mother and a father. I'm telling you. Both that know their roles and respect each other, by the way. Boy, people get this really funny idea in their mind. Like when they hear me preaching like this or they hear me raising, they act like I run around my house all day yelling. Like I'm gonna talk to my wife, and I'm always in street preaching mode or something, and I'm hollering at my wife, or I'm hollering at my children, or that I run around combative like that. It's just such nonsense, is what it is. There's a mutual love and respect that is there, and children see that, and guess what happens to them? They grow up strong. They grow up with a foundation that is powerful, that can be built upon. putting the Lord first in their life and learning the differences in those roles. You want to cause some gender dysphoria? Don't raise them with what God intended them to be. That it helps them to grow the way God wants them to be. And I look at it and I see, and you see it in society, and you want to confuse kids? Don't raise a girl to be a girl. By the way, that doesn't mean she's not going to go around man, my daughters aren't wallflowers, okay? They're not sitting up on a throne somewhere as wallflowers. You know how hard ladies worked and do work in the home, and how hard they worked when they had to pump their own water and they had to go carry barrels of water and cook and clean and wash and do all those things? That isn't reality, but that's what they're going to try to get you to believe. You study some of the godly prairie woman. You study them. Find out if they were wallflowers. And I would say to you that when a man is put into a position to try to do what a woman does, it doesn't work out. I'll be honest with you. There's some times that I'm sitting in my living room, and I got to get out of there, man. I'm not equipped to sit there when all the stuff's going on. It's just normal life for my wife, but not for me. Man, I got to get out. Because that's how men are. And it's not because my children are misbehaved. It's because they're just children. We took our daughter out, our whole family out for supper the other night. Prudence wanted burgers and fries, and I was going to make them, but somebody had given us a gift card to Red Robin, so we did it. That's right, Brother Ickes. A smart man doesn't want a wallflower anyway. He needs a woman who can work as hard as him. That's right. Amen. So we take our daughter, our whole family, we go out, and the waitress asked us, she said, are these all your children, and are they all yours and everything like that? And we said, yeah. And they said, and she said, they seem so happy. You all seem so happy. I was like, I ate 5 plates of fries. Of course I'm happy, lady. What are you talking about? I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. And we thank the Lord for it. And yeah, we are. We are. She's like, wow, it seems like that they're well behaved. Well, that's because we threaten them when they go in public. No, I'm just kidding. You don't get any fries if you don't behave. I ate a burger and 5 plates of fries. Of course I'm happy. What are you talking about? I've been on keto for 3 months straight. I'm kidding. But anyway, she said they do seem very happy, and you know. And they are. You know, and they notice the difference. They just don't understand why. Right? They don't understand why. You know, why are they like that? Well, because they have a father and mother that love the Lord, that are raising them for God and teaching them, and they're involved in their life. And honestly, they have a mother that's home with them all the time, guiding them. They have a stable home. They don't wonder, man, where's my mom at? Where's my dad at? Yeah, dad's got work to do and everything else. That's normal, right? But they have mom at home, and mom is there with them. Right? Mom is there guiding them in the home. But guess what else? They're taught what's proper between a man and a woman. They're taught the differences. They're taught the differences in male and female. They're taught the differences in the roles, not just by teaching it from the scriptures, which is important because it's our authority, but by example. By example. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. Yeah, I wasn't planning on doing this, but I'm going to do it. We're going to go in this direction. Oops. 5, sorry. Children need to see that example. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. You know what children need to see? A strong, masculine father loving their mother. That's what they need to see. That's what children need to see. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. They need to see a man sacrificing for his family. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. What does that mean? You're to love your wife as yourself. That means, however you take care of yourself, you're to take care of her according to her needs. You're to love and you're to cherish her. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You're one flesh. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Husbands are to love their wives. Wives are to submit themselves to their own. And you know what? When children see the masculine, the feminine, they're balanced right. Masculine father, feminine mother. That's what causes them to turn out right. That's what children have to see. You want to raise some androgynous children? Well, then don't be a biblical couple. Because you'll wrought confusion in those children. You'll wrought confusion in them. I don't care who you are. If your children don't see father's lead, mother's submitting and following, father's husbands loving their wives, mothers and wives submitting to their own husbands. You want to know the most dangerous women I've ever seen in my life? They are women that do not have masculine authority over them. They don't have a man that leads them. They are, number one, they're the hardest people you'll ever pastor in your entire life. You won't pastor anybody, probably, but the point is, they're the hardest people. They're the hardest church members that will cause the most difficulties in your life, in your ministry. Those that do not have strong biblical authority over them, because they don't answer 100% to you. And it isn't, and it's not what God has designed for them. So it won't be from you. And it won't be them being submitted 100% to any authority. What's going to happen? Chaos. Women that can bounce from one authority to the next authority, they'll bounce between the church and their husband. They'll bounce back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. What happens? So here you have what God has commanded. The order that God has commanded, right? When that order isn't there, what's the opposite of order? Who knows the opposite of order? Disorder. Who knows the opposite of one accord? Discord. And that's what we have today. We have homes full of disorder and discord. That's what we have. So what is the fruit of that? The fruit of that are very confused children. Because if you want your children to fall for this gender dysphoria or homosexuality or any of those other things, then don't train them in the loving, stable environment that God has commanded you to have. And you'll produce that. Will. Because all Satan has to use is use discontent, use lack of fatherhood, lack of motherhood, lack of affection, lack of instruction, lack of correction, and lack of a firm hand, lack of masculinity that needs to be there, or lack of femininity that needs to be there. From the woman's standpoint. And you'll raise butch girls. And you'll raise feminine boys. Because they're not being taught by example what they're to be. They're not being taught by the scriptures what they're to be. And I'm talking about Christian homes. You raise them with these, and societally, what's going to happen is, because of the social aspects, because of the things that are going on socially, they're going to be unstable. And because they're being indoctrinated today with these things that strike a different chord, their mind, their heart, that feed rebellion against order. Rebellion and discipline against God's order. And you'll find that once they go down that road. Right? That's where it'll go. Now, in teaching of children, here's another way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. Children are to be taught to honor their father and their mother, to give honor and respect to them. Care, that word honor also means financially. There can be a fiduciary responsibility there as well. Okay? But honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on thee. So, in other words, you're to teach your children. They're to honor patriarchy. You mothers ought to be teaching your children to honor their father. You ought to be teaching your daughters to respect your father, respect their father, to love their father, to be a servant to their father, to care for him. You ought to be teaching your sons. Your sons ought to learn honor their mother, that you teach them to honor their mom. I've taught my son since he was a little boy, my oldest son. I've taught him since he was a little boy that may be your mother, but don't you ever forget that she's my wife. I've taught him that fear, that respect, that reverence, that you're speaking to another man's wife, even though she's your mother and she loves you, that you never forget that you're speaking to my wife, that's who you're conversing with, that's who you're talking to. You remember that always. That's important, because then your sons grow up to respect women. Not to have women be disrespectful to them, because, you know, there's a thing with women. They like to tell young men what to do, and they like to make young men feel inferior. They like to kind of order them around. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about there's women that do that, though, that don't respect them. That's something you teach them as well. But anyway, you're teaching them those proper roles. Why? Not just because, oh, I want my children to mind and listen to me. I want them to obey me. Yes, I want that. But I'm also teaching them for the future. I'm also preparing them for the future. I'm preparing them to be able to understand the future, what they're to be, how they're to act. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. When I'm correcting and instructing my children, it's not just for their immediate behavior. It's to instill into them discretion, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and a foundation to build upon for the future. I'm preparing my children for life without me when I die. And how they're to teach their children one day. That's what I'm to be doing. And you better make sure that you're raising them right, that you're teaching them. That you're explaining to them the differences That's right, Brother Ickes. That's exactly right. If you disrespect your mother, you're going to deal with me. That teach, you know what that else that also teaches my children? Dad's authority. Dad's authority. Dad loves mom. Dad respects mom. Dad cares for mom. Now, there has been times, again, where I've had to instruct my wife and correct her when she's wrong about something. I don't do that purposely, and I don't belittle her. I just give instruction. Say, well, this is the proper way to do this. This is the way that we should do this. Because I also show them that mom and dad can be wrong sometimes, and when we are, we have to get right. Mom has to get right. Dad has to get right. There's times that we handle things poorly, and our children have to see that we're willing to be right, that we're willing to ask for forgiveness, that we're willing to say, you know what? I was wrong. I shouldn't have responded like that. Please forgive me. That wasn't a kind thing to do. But our children should never see us, as men, they should never see us disrespect our wives either. There's a way, you don't talk to your wife as you do a child. You can give instructions and you can give direction as a leader, but you don't talk like your wife's a child. You have respect and love and kindness. People have such a strange idea about biblical manhood and womanhood. I had one guy say one time when all these nut jobs turned on me and betrayed me and made all kinds of videos about me and said I was, you know, like a three-headed monster and I was, you know, like controlling the whole world like a big mob boss and everything like that. And I was just this big, mean, terrible, controlling guy. Well, I wasn't very good at controlling anybody. They all did what they wanted to, so I don't know how good I was at it. But anyway, I was like this mind control guru and all these stupid videos and all this other dumb stuff about me. But anyway, this guy said, yeah, that's right, Brother Ickes. Before I forget that thought, that's a good point. Priority of wife before kids. That's right. And priority of husband before children. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is absolutely truth right there. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so they had all these things, you know, that they're saying and all this, and this guy gets on there and goes, yeah, I wasn't very nice to my wife and it was Pastor Cooley's fault. Like, really? It was my fault? I wasn't the one watching pornography and not being kind to my wife. That was you, dude. That wasn't me. Praise the Lord. I wasn't even a member of this church. It's like, what, you watch some video and think I run around being mean to my wife or something? Because, by the way, we had church members in this church that didn't treat their wives and family right. They're no longer here because they didn't want to do right, and they got disciplined out. I don't know what he was smoking, but anyway, must have been something real bad. So anyway, what you have here, is an example in the scriptures that we're to honor our father and our mother, that our children are supposed to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That they're supposed to be guided and they're supposed to have those roles of understanding down. They see that first. Right? They see that first, that example. From us. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You're teaching a lady as a young woman, when you're raising daughters, you're teaching them to be discreet. A mother teaches that by being discreet. A mother teaches chastity by being chaste. A mother teaches keepers at home by being a keeper at home. A mother teaches them to be good by being good at home. A mother teaches their children to be obedient by being obedient to their own husband. That the word of God be not blasphemed. It shouldn't be, well, dad's gone, so we'll just do this and we won't tell dad we did this. No, that's not biblical. That's a good way to cause a lot of trouble in a home. By acting like that, by doing that. That's a good way to cause problems, because you teach the children not to lie to their father. You teach the children to be dishonest and to lie. And that's a terrible thing. You shouldn't teach children to do that. You shouldn't teach children to be liars. You should teach them to be honest. So you teach those ladies, those young ladies in the home, how God made them. And what God made them for, what their purpose is. You teach them that. How they're to have, they're to be modest, right? Look at that. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. So how does a woman teach that? How does a mother teach that? By being modest. Not quick to talk up around a bunch of men, but to be modest. Not dressing to receive the limelight. I said this before in my modesty series. It is your countenance, lady, that should light up a room. not what you're wearing or your body or your figure or anything else like that. It is your countenance. That godly countenance that should light up a room. It shouldn't be, wow, look, I can see every curve of her body. No, I shouldn't see every curve of your body. That shouldn't be that case at all. But you teach these young ladies to be modest, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. That's what God says that you should be. That's the design. You want to raise children wrong and confuse them? Raise a girl to be bold and brassy and to speak in front of a bunch of men and talk really loud and to let her voice be heard. Boy, you'll raise a woman. You'll raise a young lady to be bold. She's not supposed to be bold. She's supposed to be meek. She's supposed to be meek. She's not supposed to be bold. 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, and of wearing of gold, and of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. You know what you ought to wear? You know the most important thing you should wear? You should be wearing the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. That's the ornament of a lady. Not the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel. But the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. It ought to be a meek and quiet spirit that you have on, that you're wearing. That ought to be seen. That meek and quiet spirit should be seen in your countenance, not that you are loud and stubborn and obnoxious. But if you raise your daughters just like the boys, that they have to do everything the boys do, that they have to be like the boys, and you raise them all the same, well, that's Christian androgyny. That's what that is. You want to cause some gender dysphoria, make your daughter think she has to be in competition with her brother. Or vice versa, whichever. Right? Exactly. Obnoxious women, good men don't like obnoxious women. Good men run from obnoxious women. It says here, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Hidden man of the heart. That's what they're going to behold. Not the adorning of outward apparel. You should be modest so your outward apparel doesn't, like, cause every head to turn when you walk in a room because every curve is showing and every part of your body is showing. or because your hair has all kinds of, it's just magnificence. No, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament. An ornament, you wear ornaments, right? You've heard of a tree ornament, right? It dresses up the tree. Well, what dresses up a good woman? And if I'm raising daughters, if a mother is raising daughters, she wants her daughters to have the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. You know what? I see young ladies in Christian churches, in fundamental churches, and they've got the ornament of the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair. And you, man, they wear all the nice outfits and they run the risky business and they make sure that you can see the curves of their body and they make sure that they look really sharp and nice and attractive and everything else. And I'm not saying it's wrong to make yourself look nice, but if you're doing it, show off every curve of your body and everything else like that. If you're doing it, you're missing it. And if you're a mother that's allowing your daughters to do that, then what you're allowing them to do is have an ornament of that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, of wearing of girl of gold and of putting on of apparel. But Peter contrasts that. He said, no, you should be this lady. And if you're raising daughters, let it be the hidden man of the heart. Teach them the ornament to wear. An ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Because let me ask you a question, moms out there. Are you raising your daughters so men are attracted to their flesh? And not their walk with God? That's a good question, isn't it? Oh, man, they dress really nice. Oh, I like... And you know what? That dressing nice attracts boys. Sure does. I'm talking about in fundamental Baptist churches. I'm talking about in Bible-preaching churches. Yeah, it attracts boys, all right? But let it be the hidden man of the heart. Do you teach them? Are you teaching them to have the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price? That's what you should be. That's what you should, if you're going to teach them to dress, then hope and pray and teach them to have the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Oh, I know, David. I know, Brother Ickes. I know. You should see what women wear at a public gyms. It is absolutely vile. It is absolutely vile. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. For after this manner in old time, the holy women also. What do you want to be, lady? What do you want to teach your daughters to be? Holy women who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Are you? Are you teaching them that? Are you training those girls to be in subjection to their own husbands? Are there fathers? I mean, are you by example teaching them that? I know they're not married yet, but are you teaching them that? Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid of any amazement. See, you have to ask yourself, What example am I giving for ladies? What example am I teaching? See, because this is the opposite of what a young man is in many ways. A young man is, we're to teach our young men. We're to teach our young men to be bold, be sober, to be providers, to be protectors, to be the head, to be leaders, to make decisions, not to live in indecisiveness, to make spiritual decisions for their family, to make leadership decisions and financial decisions, and to lead and provide for their families. We're to teach young men to be bold, to learn boldness, to have that entrepreneur spirit, to have that spirit, that pioneering spirit, to have that conquering spirit. That we're to teach our young men to thrive through adversity, to have tenacity, not to be effeminate, but to be masculine. We're to teach them toxic masculinity, as the world calls it. To man spread in the whole nine yards. To mansplain. Don't mansplain me. I'll mansplain you, lady. Oh, now he's mansplaining. Yeah, I don't care what you want to call it. It's called God made man to rule. You're to teach them to be rulers. You know something? I look at my son right now, my youngest son. And it's so funny. Because we have to teach him what's right, okay? I mean, he has to learn what's right. But man, we don't have to teach Gideon to like be dominant and to be he already knows the difference in the boys and the girls, man. I mean, outwardly, not inwardly, of course, he doesn't understand those, but he knows the difference, man. He's just like, no way. He's spreading his toxic masculinity everywhere. He's 2 years old, and he's, man, he's like, give me them chips. Oh, he don't like them girls pawing all over him. He's like, hey, I ain't no girl. Quit doing that to me. That's funny, man. I can already see it. You can see the young man in him. You can just see it. The difference in having, you know, I had Lucius, and then years went by, and I had five girls, and then all of a sudden, here comes Gideon, and he's like, I ain't having that, man. You ain't doing that to me. So he's already got it, man. He's already ready to take his 300 and go to war, man. But Gideon's this burly little dude, man, and he's like, I'm ready, man. I'm ready. So, but the point is that you teach young men to rule, to be rulers. Now you teach them how to rule. Look what Proverbs says. Talks about ruling in wisdom. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. We teach our children to be, our young men to be diligent, right? A steady application in business, constant effort. Teach him to rule his own spirit. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. You teach him to rule their own spirit. You can't rule anybody if you can't rule yourself under the inspiration and the power of the Holy Ghost. So you teach them to rule their own spirit. Obviously, that's something that men and women have to learn. But in this case, for men, you teach them, you can't lead anybody else if you're not leading yourself. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame. He that it hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So you teach your young men, no, you're not allowed to lose your temper like that. There's a time to be angry and sin not. There's a time you're going to get your cackles up as a man. There's a time you're going to come out thundering. Yeah, there's a time for men to do that. Men aren't supposed to be passive. God didn't make them to be passive little effeminate people. Made them to be strong. He made them to be leaders. He made them to be to rule. But they have to be able to control their own spirit, their own passions. Being a man means that you control your passions and desires, and you have Holy Ghost control over those things, and you learn temperance and how to deal things. And you're not some kind of effeminate woman that just opens her heart up to everybody and unloads everything. No, you're a man and you stay reserved on some things. You control your tongue and your speech and your actions. You're careful. The Bible gives those instructions about ruling. Husbands were to rule well their own house. Before they could ever have the office of a bishop, they had to prove that they would rule well their own house. That they would lead, that they would bear rule in their homes, in their marriages, and towards their children. That their children were not unruly in their home, but they rule well their own house. Having their children in subjection. If my children sin, it'll break my heart if they walk away from God. But they'll know that they can't do evil in my home. They'll know that. And your children ought to know that too, that they can't do evil in your home. They turn away from God. They turn away from your house. It's because you won't let them do that evil there. You haven't fostered that evil there. You haven't taught them that evil there. But God expects young men to learn how to rule, to learn how to... See, my son, you teach your son to work outside the home, to make money, to get that job and start making money and start being able to provide and being somewhat independent in some ways. Well, what do you mean? Well, here's what I mean. I don't look at my daughters and go, okay, well, when you turn 18, if you don't go to college, you got to go get a job and you got to pay rent. Why would I tell them that? I wouldn't. And I wouldn't let them go work for somebody either. Why? Well, because I know what kind of a dog I was when I was out there on the hunt in the world. This world is nasty. This world is disgusting. I'm teaching my daughters to be in subjection to their father and then one day to their husband, and that's it. God meant for a woman to be in subjection to one man, not many men, not mankind, period. So like Islam, if they see a woman in public, they can just rape that woman and treat her like a dog. No, that's not biblical Christianity. It says to your own husbands, you're in submission. It's also why I wouldn't want my daughter running out alone by herself, running around. Nope. Uh-uh. Why? She's not a young man. She's a young lady. Doesn't need to be running around by herself. That's how young ladies get in trouble. Young men can get in trouble, too. So they need to be careful with that, too. But I'm saying young ladies, nope. Nope. Not a good idea. Bad idea. Bad principle. It's raising them the same way. So if you tell your daughters, well, you got to go make money, what you're saying is, I don't want to take care of you anymore. You turned 18, so I don't want to take care of you anymore. You go find somebody to take care of you. Oh, they will. Oh, they will. It won't be hard. It's not hard for a girl to find somebody to take care of her. Believe me, it's not. You just won't like the results of it. You'll hate the results of it. No, I'll take care of you until you're old enough to, until God brings a husband along for you. Then he could take care of you. And if he tells me he ain't going to take care of you and he's going to put you to work, then he ain't marrying you. Because he ain't man enough to marry you. Because if your old daddy is man enough to take care of you until you get married, I'll take care of you if that man ain't man enough to do it. I'll do it myself until God brings a man along that's man enough to take care of you. See how that works? You think I'm afraid to do that? I got five daughters. You think I'm afraid to do that? You don't think you think I don't believe that God will take care of me? That God hasn't given me all things and met all my needs and always cared for me and taken care of me? And given me two hands if he tells me to go do something with them? I believe God. I'll take care of them. I'll take care of each and every one of them until God brings a man along that wants to actually be a man. I ain't marrying my daughters off to some dude that don't want to be a man that looks and says, well, you got to go make your fair share of money. I'll be like, you come back when you're a man, sonny. Because you ain't taking my daughter not being a man. Asking her to pay her own way. That'll make some of you mad out there. Some of you don't like what I'm saying. Good. I hope you don't like it. I'm not one of those guys that apologizes for the truth. Amen. That's the principle I've set forth in our church too, and taught by the scriptures. If you don't want to take care of your wife, if you don't want to take care of a woman, if you don't want to do this, man, I've heard all kinds of excuses by people why they can't do stuff. Plain and simple, if you want to obey God, God will make a way. If you don't want to obey God, God will let you wander around in your own nonsense. Amen. But if you don't want to take care of a woman, if you don't get married then. That's just it. You ain't man enough to get married. You don't want to take care of your wife. So she can be a keeper at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. By the way, you know what you teach these young men? You don't want them growing up androgynous? What do you teach them then? You want to grow them up with gender dysphoria? I got one for you. Why don't you teach these young men that they need to go to trade school? They need to get a good trade. They don't need to pay a college $250,000 a year and get in debt and be in debt for the rest of their life to a college education when they can go to a trade school for free. When they can literally get in one of the trades for free. You know what I'm teaching these young men right off the bat here? When I'm preaching, you better get into a trade. Learn a trade. You'll be making money right away. You won't be paying money, you'll be making money. Because they're starving and begging for men. That's what they're doing right now everywhere. Can't get enough of them. You know what? And if these men, if these young men grow up to and get called to the ministry, guess what? They got a trade already. Like Luke, he's a 21-year-old man, a young man. He's been driving a truck for a couple, or 22 now, I think, maybe. He's been driving a truck for 3 years. 2 or 3 years. He's a truck driver. Guess what? You know what he said to me? What if God sends me somewhere? Yeah, what if he does? Sends him to overseas somewhere to go help a church plant that we have or something. He can go drive a truck over there. There you go. You could be a plumber over there. You could be a, my son wants to be a plumber. Learn a trade. Be able to go, be a plumber. Right? I think truck driving is a great trade to get into. I think it's absolutely a great trade. If you can handle it, I don't think it's good forever because your back maybe not hold up to it. If you eat too much trucker food, you'll be 300 pounds stuck in that chair. But you know what? It's a trade you can take anywhere. That's what you teach these young. I don't teach my daughter, oh, you need to get into a trade. She's already got about 100 of them. What's that called? What's that? Being a keeper at home. You learn a lot of things about a lot of things. Women don't need to. You know what? My wife is a keeper at home. She's learned a lot of things. My daughters learn a lot of things. Many, many, many. I'm not teaching my daughters to go out and get a trade and a career. I'm teaching them that your father's going to take care of you by the grace of God, and he's going to marry you off to somebody that's going to take care of you too. That's just Bible, friend. That's all that is. And if we got back to it, maybe we wouldn't have all this gender dysphoria and confusion in Christian homes. Maybe we could actually be an example to the world and have something to say to them that's different than what the psychologists and all the other people bring out. Maybe we'd actually follow the scriptures and we'd influence the world. And they'd be like, you know what? There's something different about those boys and girls in your home. There's something different about that, about them. There's something different about your children and your family and your church. And there's something different about them. What is it? Well, they know the boys know their boys and the girls know their girls. Right? That starts now when they're little, directing them and guiding them and encouraging them and lifting them up. When your girls do wonderful things in the home and they bake things, they cook things, they fix things, they decorate things, they work on things, they help out, they organize things, they do all those other things of organizing a home, and you encourage them and you reward them for those things. And I teach my son responsibility. I look at my son and I say, look, boy, not Gideon, but Lucius. Look, boy. There ain't no whining about this. You're a man. You got work to do. You square your shoulders. You buck up and you get your work done because you're a man. And that's what men do. We have responsibilities and we have things we have to do and we just do them. And to a certain degree, you teach your daughters those things too, but there's a lot of different compassion and things that go into that for young ladies. Different. I don't talk to my daughters and expect the same thing out of my daughters that I do my son. Different. It's different. All right, I'll change the title to this. I'll change the title of this and make it different so it fits more for it. It'll be like something about Christian androgyny and raising, you know, kind of like I did years ago, but not quite the same. But we'll figure that out later. Let's get to a song here. Man, it's